yesterday I was here. I didn't have one, but David did yesterday.
What insurance? He got old man.
He's two for two.
Yeah, well, I had to do a Senate media thing.
Oh, I did that yesterday. Yeah, they told me you were coming.
Back up the sewer, but even that is.
But if overland the wall,
you see, we're appointing the selection committee.
At least Warren's got a good agenda.
You could say that to me.
Yes.
Leroy doesn't.
I was just asking.
You don't have to wear one in committee, I think.
Call the rules committee to order. For the record, a quorum is present. Welcome back, everybody. We've got a little bit of business here to do today. The Senate budget. Maybe Ms. Zoff gonna, or Greenwald, who's gonna present the budget? Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, members, you have a document in your folders that's headed Minnesota Senate Budget, fiscal years 2014 to 2015, and that sets out the major categories of the proposed budget for this biennium. You will see that the total appropriation for each year is, for the first year, is $23,133,000, and for the second year is $22,633,000. There is an increase in the amount that's available for salaries. There is an expectation that the health insurance costs for both members and staff will be increasing, perhaps as much as 12% a year, so there's an increased cost there. There's a proposal to increase, or to rather reinstate, the deferred comp match. That is something that had been available to members and staff for many years, but was suspended over the last several years when the Senate budget ran into some difficulties. So there's a proposal to reinstate that. One quirk in that proposal is that you'll see that the first year anticipated expenditure is $300,000 and the second year is $150,000. The reason for that doubling up in the first year is that that is available on a calendar year basis, so there would be potentially 2 years' worth of deferred comp match paid out of the first year, but then ongoing the expectation it was, is that it would be about $150,000. Most of the other, there's a significant increase in the amount of money that's going to be available for computers and printers and other technology expenditures. For many years now, when the Senate budget has been dealing with severe shortfalls, we really curtailed any kind of expenditures for technology. And there's a recognition that we're in pretty dire straits in terms of our equipment. So money has been put into the budget to accommodate that. And I think there's an intention to make those expenditures part of the ongoing budget, something that can be anticipated so that equipment can be produced or can be replaced regularly rather than waiting for an emergency and paying for that kind of expenditure out of the carry forward. There is also an expectation or an increase in the out-of-state travel budget, and that is largely due to the fact that Minnesota is going to be the host site for the NCSL conference next summer. And part of the job of hosting that conference is that Minnesota is expected to attend the NCSL conference, or a delegation from Minnesota is expected to attend the NCSL conference this summer in order to promote Minnesota as the site for the next year's conference. So that is a significant part of that expenditure increase. The other significant increase is about two-thirds of the way down that final group, the non-employee expenditures under fees, notary, summons, admissions, and litigation. There is an amount of $502,500, and that was intended to be available to pay the litigation expenses going forward. So those are the main changes or differences from previous years in this budget.
Any questions? Center hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Off. Can you just, for purposes of context, I guess, the 2013 budget for the Senate that we're just concluding, what is the amount that we're expending this year, and then what is the carryover that is going to be left in the Senate budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, what I guess we refer to as the base budget or the budget for the previous fiscal year was about $20,733,000. So by way of comparison, that's the difference with this year's budget being $23,133,000. As for the carry forward, I don't have that number with me. Maybe Mr. Ms. Lunzer would have that.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Hahn, just.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe this will provide a little context for people. The budget that was, the Senate budget that was included in the state government finance bill had an appropriation of $3.8 million more than what the Senate budget was in the previous biennium. In addition to that, there's the $500,000 one-time money for litigation expenses. So the real budgetary number is $3.8 million higher in this biennium than it was in the previous one. And this card is in your packet. This might be helpful. You can see the Senate is over 86% salaries. That's what the Senate budget is about. So the higher appropriation is what's making possible the roster changes that we're going to make later today. That provides some context, Senator.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, I just want to comment. I'm glad we're doing that deferred comp. I think it's important that we, along with the employees, invest in the deferred comp, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And is it $750 a unit?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzen, I believe the proposal is for $750 for the first year. And consider possibly a larger amount the second year, but the first year would be the $750.
I think, Mr. Chairman and members, I think a lot of your business community do match somewhat in this area, and I think it encourages our members to save, and maybe at the end of the day that might save a little money in the long run for nursing homes and other issues. And so I think it's a great idea, and it's too bad we left it off for a couple of years, but I understand why we did, but I'm glad we're putting it back in here today. And like you said, that's $300,000, and then $500,000 gets you up to $800,000 on the new money. So that's a big part of it. But it's something we have to do.
Secretary Zoff, you want to mention something about our health insurance costs, what those premium increases have been? Because they're also an additional Senate budget expense.
Right.
You see them on the top of the sheet.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I believe the expectation is that they were anticipating possibly as much as a 12% increase over the next 2 years for the health insurance premiums.
And Secretary's office, is that 12% one time or 12% each year?
Mr. Chair, I believe that's for each year, I think.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
And Mr. Chair, if I could respond to Senator Hahn's second question. The carry forward that we're anticipating at the end of this fiscal year is about $1.2 million going into the carry forward.
Other questions, members? Senator
Stump. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could go back to the money that we're going to spend on computers, is the is that mostly to keep the existing computers running, or because we will be, I think, as the Capitol gets renovated, we will be hopefully putting in a better network and better backbone system. What's the direction of the money that would be in here for, let's say, the computer system and its maintenance?
Mr. Chairman, Jim Greenwald from the IT department. The anticipation from the budgeted amount here is for replacement primarily of workstations, that being member and staff laptops, and workstations for other members, getting those replaced, also replacing printers. Most of that equipment is 5, 8, sometimes 10 years old, as you're aware, so we'll be getting all of that workstation systems up to date, including Windows 7 and later software. We anticipate that during the next four years, during the remodeling of the Capitol building and the new legislative office building, there will be some infrastructure included in that. That is primarily cabling and switches, and we will get the latest of those in there. As far as some of the back office type stuff, we're fairly up to date on that right now. And that will be have limited expenditures, but we would not be probably upgrading that until we were to move into the new legislative office building. Any changes to that until we moved in there, and that is anticipated in the summer of 2015.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Greenwald. Are the laptops going to work faster after we've adopted this budget?
Yes, they will. And there's currently, Mr. Chairman, a survey out for staff and for members to comment on the technology concerns and issues, and I would encourage everyone to go on to the you should have an email on that with a link to that survey. Complete that so that we have a better idea of some of the needs and wishes of the staff and members.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Limmer, then Senator Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Greenwald. I can't remember for sure, but are some members, are they allowed to use their own laptops and use it into the Senate system?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, members and staff are able to use their own tablets or laptops, but they are not tied directly into the Senate system for security and authentication issues. We have found, and that's part of what the survey will do, is to see what services that you are in need of that we can provide in that regard. I know one of the two of the major areas that are being able to print from a tablet or a personal laptop and also to access information on your hard drive, the H drive, as we call it, out on the network. And we are devising methods to do that. But from a security standpoint, we still do not allow non-Senate-owned equipment logged directly into the network. The wireless network allows the access for this extraneous equipment, especially tablets, as many of you and the staff and even the public now have. And we are in the process of working with the Capital Preservation people, Minute, the House, and the commissions to upgrade that Wi-Fi system by the 2014 session.
Mr. Chair, I've noticed also then, and I have my own. What I've found is that there's a lot of members who bring their own equipment because it's, well, it's more superior than more superior. It's superior to what the Senate provides us, and it's because we haven't had a change in any of that. But needless to say, if I'm on the floor of the Senate and I've got to have two, I have to have a laptop on my desk, and if I need to take care of, let's say, some business at home, I may use a tablet style. And, you know, there's only so much space on a desktop on the Senate, much less anywhere else on any other place. It would be nice if we would have the ability to consolidate something in a lightweight package that one could use all the time. And I don't know, is it the security issue? Couldn't we just satisfy that with code or a security password or something that would allow members to perhaps use a lightweight product of their own and then access what the Senate has?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, we are investigating that right now. We do know that the what we call BYOD, bring your own device, is a major item that is occurring across the country, both in industry and in government, and we're looking for those particular solutions. I wish I could give you the answer right now, but technically I don't have that for you. One of the things that we are hoping, and as we discuss the budget here, we do have a larger amount of money in the budget. It used to be like $40,000 per year instead of the $200,000 and some, is to be able to look at how we can refresh our systems, especially the systems that the staff and the senators use on a more regular basis. In other words, every 3, 4, or 5 years. The practice, as long as I have been here, is once the system gets so old and decrepit that everybody insists that it does, then we provide a one-time fund for replacing all of the equipment at once, and then we wait 4, 5, 6 years before we do it again. Our hope is that we can begin to do some sort of a refreshment plan on this equipment so that you're not in the situation you are now. But the bring-your-own-device issue is a very major item that we are looking at, and we want to be able to provide that members, and especially members and staff, are able to access everything they can from that personal device.
Senator Cohen and Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment. This is the comment I made in the subcommittee, but to also make the same comment in the rules committee I made to both Ms. Off and Mr. Greenwald, that with stability with the Senate budget, at least more stability with the Senate budget, I expect that we'll use our strength as buyers in dealing with vendors, particularly with the purchase of new computers, that we use the strength that we'll have, which is true any place these days. You know, the buyers have the advantage, and we should get full. We should be able to utilize that and get some real significant savings, some significant effort on the part of a vendor, particularly relative to the computers. That'd be true with any other contract the Senate has, but with the stability in the budget, we have some real advantages at this point.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to go back, Ms. Secretary Zoff. Just the clarification for my understanding on the carry-forward issue. My understanding is that the last budget there was $1.2 million that was going to be carried forward, but I believe there's also additional funds already in the carry-forward account. And so what is the total in the carry-forward, and then what is that money used for? What do we do with that? So what is the total amount that's in that carry forward account, and then what is the purpose, or what is that money going to be used for going forward?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, or Senator Hahn, the current carry forward, I'm trying to see, is about at the end of this year, well, it should be available about $2.5 million with the addition of the other $1 million, which is the balance of fiscal year 13. We anticipate beginning the next fiscal year with approximately $3.5 million in the carry forward. The carry forward money is used primarily, it's put in three separate accounts by statute. And those accounts are, number one, for involuntary severance. And in the last 3 years, we've had a great deal of involuntary severance paid out. The other account is for investment for purposes of enhancement, or basically capital investments for video equipment, computer equipment, some small remodelings that we've had to do. And then the third item is for cost of special session, so we don't have to take special session funds out of the regular budget. And we have in the past always had any litigation fees for items such as election contests and stuff have also come out of the carry forward fund. So it's separated into those three areas to designate the type of expenditures that can come from that fund.
So thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Greenwald. So the $3.5 million is really the difference between what was budgeted in the last biennium and what was spent, and that's going to be carried forward to be available for these other purposes. Is that correct? My understanding correct on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, it's the result of the last several years of any surpluses which have been accumulated, and then we add the balance of this year to that. That accumulation has taken place over the last 5 or 6 years. One of the major accumulators on that was we had budgeted for health insurance, and I think it was 3 years ago there was no health insurance increase, so that was a substantial amount. We also have had freezes and whatnot, and a lot of vacancies have been maintained over the last 3 years as they've become open, and there's been a considerable amount of savings in that area too.
Senator Stone.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you expand a little bit more, Ms. Zoff, on the health insurance increases?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stump, specifically, what are you asking?
Well, it seems like the increase 12% per year for 2 years seems a little bit high, and I'm just wondering is it due to any one factor, such as experience, more elderly employees, or some other factor?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, the Senate's own experience doesn't affect that. That would be just as it's determined by the statewide, the CGIP contract. So our own particular experience doesn't enter into that. But according to Mr. Greenwald, that was the actual increase in premiums this year. So I think that's, you know, the 12% that we were looking at for each of the next 2 years was just working off this year's experience and expecting that to continue. And again, we may have a happy surprise as we did a few years ago when we were anticipating significant increases and they didn't happen, but we just don't know that yet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the budget, on the Senate budget? Senator Stevens.
I don't want to get into the weeds too much here, Mr. Greenwald, but I do have a question more about our computers, and maybe I missed it, but what's the timeline for the senators getting their new computers? And then I know that in the past we've had a choice between different sizes of laptops. Is there any thought between looking at different, I assume obviously there is different types of brands of computers, but possibly looking at Apple computers versus all the other kinds. I see that Senator Limmer may have a preference for our tablets. Right.
Those darn tablets.
Madam President, Senator Stephen, first of all, the anticipation is you certainly will have them before the 2014 session. The process is that we will look at the surveys. We'll then go out and start to look at equipment. We like to take a look initially at what is on the state contracts. If that doesn't fulfill our needs, then we will have to go out and bid ourselves, which can be time-consuming. As far as having multiple types of equipment, it is the goal of our department to try to maintain a standardization, because every time you have a different type of equipment, it creates exponentially issues for the maintenance of that. And as far as Apple's go, that would require different software. You know, we use Microsoft and Microsoft products and stuff, so there would be a considerable additional expenditure if we were to go to that. And again, that's also a product that our attempt is to standardize. Right now, I would believe we have maybe seven different types of computers that we have to maintain. So every time we go to an office, we not only have to figure out what the problem is, we have to look at what the operating system is and what type of computer is, and then resolve the problem from those standpoints. So standardization is a goal that we have, if we can, on the workstations.
Senator Pappas, the Personnel Committee has reviewed the budget.
We have, and we recommended to the full committee approve it. Ready for a motion?
I'm ready.
Yeah, I would move that the Rules Committee approve the Senate budget.
Any discussion? In favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Budget is adopted. Thank you, everybody. Next, let's take up the employee roster, and maybe Ms. Zoff, you can give us a little summary of what leads into the numbers that we see. And the tradition of the Senate has been to just adopt the roster as it's presented today. And Senator Pappas, has the Personnel Committee looked at the roster?
We did look at the roster, and we did approve it.
Madam Secretary, why don't you give us a little summary of how this got put together?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is, I think, a one-page description in your materials that outlines the elements that go into making up this roster. And I should add as well that one of the components in the roster that's not covered by this is the fact that this will also reflect any new hires since the last roster was adopted in January of this year. But the changes with respect to the salary that are reflected in the numbers in the roster are there are four different elements here. There would be a $1,500 increase for any employee, any current employee of the Senate, who was employed by the Senate on July 12th last year. And this amount is going to be added to the employee's salary base going forward. Additionally, it's not reflected in the roster, but the proposal is to provide a lump sum payment of $1,500 for any current employee who was employed by the Senate on March 15th of this year. This amount will be paid separately, and it will not be added into the employee's salary base going forward. There are also a number of career path and non-career path promotions included within this roster. Those are the promotions for individuals who are in the job families, such as the legislative assistants have a potential for being promoted from an LA1 to an LA2 to an LA3 to an LA4. Other job families, I'm thinking that probably makes up about half of the individuals employed by the Senate, people who are eligible for periodic promotions. And what we look for in making those promotions is not only that the employee has been here for the number of years that's required to move from one level to another, but also that they show some kind of enhanced performance, or, you know, maybe they take on additional responsibilities or serve as mentors to other people on the staff, so that they're really increasing their contribution to the Senate beyond what it was when they began at that level. So those promotions are included in this document, as are a number of equity adjustments that were agreed to among the leadership. So those increases are included here. And then finally, each employee who is employed currently in the Senate will be eligible for an increase of 3% going forward. And that 3% is applied to the current salary plus any other of the equity adjustments, and that if they were eligible for the $1,500 payment, the 3% would be on top of those amounts. So beginning in January of 2014, the minimums and the maximums of the salary ranges are going to be increased by 3%, so that new employees coming in to the Senate would be hired at that higher rate, but the current employees would still be somewhat ahead of them because they would have had the advantage of perhaps the $1,500 or a move a little closer toward a promotion. So that maintains a little bit of distance there. So the document that's headed Minnesota State Regular Roster provides the salaries going forward for all the employees. You also have a document that's titled Senate Job Titles Distributed by Salary Range, and that establishes, I would say, the backbone of our personnel system. This will show you the titles, the job titles for which people are hired, and into which salary range they fall at the time of hiring. It may also give you an indicator of whether or not that person would be eligible for, would be a part of a job family, or would be part of a sequencing of jobs that would provide some possibility for movement going forward in their employment in the Senate. So the minimums and maximums of these ranges have not been adjusted now, but they will be beginning in January. So new hires in January will see that increase. I think it's important to point out that it would be to the benefit of the Senate to increase those ranges. They've not been increased for 5 years, and what we found in the past when we've had salary freezes is that we start developing difficulties hiring people and keeping people in the Senate, maintaining good employees, because the market progresses at a time when we haven't. So allowing these ranges to go up by 3% will begin to get the Senate moving again. I would point out as well that most of the employees in the Senate have not had overall salary increases or promotions in the last 5 years. 2008 was the last time that Senate employees were eligible for regular increases unless they were changing positions. So those are the main elements of the salary proposal before you.
Questions, members? Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is and I know I'm kind of in the process of looking at hiring a committee administrator. Is the personnel policy such that we can recognize a further additional educational components, such as, let's say, if they have an additional degree or advanced degree, do we recognize those talents when potential employees are being looked at?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, we currently don't provide any additional salary for people coming to these positions with additional additional degrees, advanced degrees. There was a time, I would think, probably 20 years ago, when there was some recognition for newly hired staff if they had an advanced degree, but we haven't implemented that for quite a while. There had been a practice over some years of providing a higher starting salary for people who came to the Senate with comparable experience in, say, another government agency or something else that would be of, you know, provide them with an advantage beginning in the Senate. And we had developed a formula for trying to objectively evaluate the value of that experience coming into these positions. But frankly, we stopped applying that formula when we stopped giving people in the Senate any increases because it seemed unfair to give new employees some consideration for experience that they were getting elsewhere when we weren't giving employees here any increases.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. It seems like we're so different than the private sector in terms of looking at quality people. If somebody, you know, comes with additional training and experience and education, those are kind of key elements of skills that private sector rewards, and rightly so, because I mean, otherwise there would be no benefit for additional education or there'd be no benefit for additional skills. So why is the Senate so far different than the private sector?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, we are definitely different from many other kinds of employers, but I think probably within the private sector there are many, many different ways of looking at valuing employees or compensating them, I should say. And we have over the years tried different systems, and I think it's fair to say that, you know, the salary system is certainly subject to being scrutinized and being improved. I do think the fact that we had the freeze for 5 years, everything got put on hold, and things just get a little bit more difficult to resolve during that because we're not recognizing, say, what's going on in the market, or we're not recognizing, and I realize that in the private sector things were hard as well, but, you know, the freeze really creates a situation where we probably would profit from taking a look at our entire system and trying to decide what's rational and what's not. I do think there certainly we would recognize the value of additional experience or additional education because, in my opinion, the typical employer here would look at a person applying with more experience or an advanced degree and give them a leg up in terms of getting the job. So that might get them in the door. We just may not compensate them for that.
Senator Stump, I had a conversation in the last week, and my chief of staff, and I believe Senator briefly with Senator Hand, Senator Pappas, Senator Sieben, Senator Cohen, what our new human resource director, D.D. Larson, who's here, doing some analysis of our salary structure and seeing if there are some ways we can recognize some experience or education that might be beneficial to the Senate. And the first thing that comes to mind to me is when a staffer from the House comes over to the Senate, they might have years and years of seniority in the House doing the very same job they're going to do when they come to the Senate, but still we bring them in at the entry-level bottom of the range job, even though clearly they have experience at it. So we don't even recognize the exact same experience for the job that they're going to do, much less education or related experience. So I do think there's some work that could be done there where we could improve this. I realize other majority leaders have tried to take that on and have failed, but that was before we hired this new rock star human resource manager to help us bring some new ideas are certainly worth bouncing around here and see if we can make some improvements. So we make sure that we maintain our new hiring the highest degree of competency that is available to us. So we'll be having further discussions about how that, and I expect other members are going to be engaged with her on providing input on putting together some ideas. And that's part of the reason you do not see a salary increase in here for the second year of the biennium. This is just the first year. We had a conversation about maybe we should, even though the money's built into the budget for a salary increase in the second year, I'm not suggesting today the Rules Committee adopt that second year. Just kind of pending some review of this whole structure and see if we can make some improvements in it for us to consider this time next year here. I do think we all need to bear in mind that this Senate has an incredible, very, very competent staff that have been working without a pay increase for 5 years around here. And I think most of us probably would like to do a little more than we're able to do today for them, but I just want to thank all of them, I think, on behalf of all of us that are members of the Senate for their work during an extended period of no additional salary compensation.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, I think this is in line with what the LCC did with all the union contracts. They hadn't had a raise for 5 years either. And that includes AFSCME, MAPE, the engineers, librarians, MNSCU, SEIW, professional employees, and we figured back then in the Senate we voted for it to give them a bump, and I think this is on a parallel kind of a street to what we're doing here. So it's been a long time since our public employees have gotten a little boost, including our employees, obviously. That's what
everybody except us members, Senator Metzen.
Well, that's
not that the Senate didn't try this.
That's called courage. Some of us have it, and some of us don't.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, if there's no more discussion, then I would just move that the committee approve the salary roster.
Any other discussion on the Pappas motion?
Yes.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Thank you, everybody. The last order of business for the full Rules Committee is our litigation expenses. We have an invoice from Larkin Hoffman. For a total of $27,701 from the period of February 1 through April 30th, 3 months. If anybody has any questions, please direct them to Mr. Bodden. He has much more knowledge of what this invoice contains than I do. And I should say, in the budget, there is $500,000 of one-time money that's not built into the base. It's intended to try and help us not have to use the Senate carry-forward account for these one-time legal expenses. And just want to be clear to anybody, that is not intended to be used as money for a settlement. The case is about to go to the deposition stage. Our legal bills are going to go up. It is scheduled. I believe the judge has scheduled it for trial on July 1 of 2014. I don't know if $500,000 is going to be enough money to get us through the legal bills between now and July 2014 or not. But any questions on the Larkin-Hoffman invoice? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to thank you for sending the copy of the bill out ahead of time so we had a chance to take a look at it. I really did appreciate that. And in going through it, I see that there is a number of conferences between our attorney, Larkin Hoffman, and Mr. Bodern, and I think that's probably appropriate. I mean, we have to have somebody in particular for our attorneys to talk to, and I am assuming that designated individual is Mr. Bodern, and again, I think that's appropriate. My question is that once Mr. Bodern has this conversation, Mr. Chairman, are you involved in the decision-making process in terms of what our attorneys are being directed to do or not to do? I mean, I would assume it's pretty difficult to rule it by committee. So I'm just wondering what kind of direction is Larkin Hoffman getting, and is it coming from you?
Probably in March or April of 2011, there was a discussion on the Senate floor once it appeared the Senate was going to be sued. I believe Senator Cohen mentioned it about who's going to represent the state Senate. The entire state Senate is going to be sued. And I think he said, as an individual member, I'm being sued as a member of the Senate. What ensued from that was a conversation between the majority and the minority leader. We made a decision to put together two people from each caucus to work with Mr. Bodern, along with the Secretary of the Senate. And we have followed through on that. Currently, there are two members of the Majority Caucus, two members of the Minority Caucus. Senator Hahn and I both serve on that. The new Secretary of the Senate has been involved with Mr. Bodern. We've had sit-down meetings with our counsel from Larkin Hoffman, and we have had phone conference calls as we've tried to minimize them, to minimize the cost. But as it was pertinent, we have, as a group, communicated with her in I believe we've made all the decisions we've made have been consensus decisions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion? Senator Cohen or Senator Hahn, who would like to move the invoice?
I'll move the adoption invoice.
Senator Hahn moves the Larkin Hoffman invoice for 27,701 be paid. Any other discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Members, I should say that will come out of the Senate carry forward because we don't officially have $500,000 that was in the state government finance bill for this coming budget year, but I would expect as future invoices come, we've set that $500,000 aside as a separate pot of money in the Senate budget that future invoices would be paid out of that $500,000 one-time appropriation. Any other business for the Rules Committee? If not, Rules Committee is adjourned. Thank you all.